All right, Dan, I'm ready to record the all-day stranger that you said we're going to be doing. So I'm just going to put my hand under my butt here and just let it go numb.
I did not tell you anything about an all-day stranger. I haven't even thought about strangers in like years, man. That was like, 12 years old.
Yeah, it's a Seth Rogen joke. Why aren't you putting your hand underneath your butt, too?
That's not what we're doing, Jared. We watched Day of the Stranger, not the all-day stranger.
What?
We're not performing a masturbatory act.
I thought we were taking the podcast in a new
direction. No! Who would want to listen to that? ASMR of masturbation. Just, you know what? Never mind. Let's do it. I'm putting my hand under my butt, just like you did.
Oh, shit. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film Review.
How long does it take for them to get numb?
I don't know, man. That's why I thought we were going to figure it out together.
Okay. So let's just continue to sit. Yes. We're going to continue to sit on our hands as we do this episode.
I mean, I guess we could talk about Day of the Stranger while we're waiting for our strangers to warm up.
That sounds perfect. All right.
Unbelievable.
Jesus. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes. As always, Jared said that he is Jared and I say that I am Dan. And we are together, the Indie Film Review, who might or might not perform strangers later.
We like to have fun here. So, yes, we did watch Day of the Stranger. A 2020 film, huh? You can't say we're not current.
2020!
People who say we're not current, you can fuck off. No one says that, by the way, but still, I like to be aggressive at our fans for no reason.
I like to say we have fans because we have fans because we say that we have fans.
That's right. Hey, you know what? I see the numbers. I see the numbers go up. All right. So somebody is listening to this.
Somebody is listening. We are relatively famous. We are 40 people famous. That's who we are.
Yeah. Around there. Yeah. That's a good medium for how many people listening. Yeah. It's not bad. That's pretty good. This was sent to us by Tom Lee Rudder.
Tom Lee Rudder, the writer, director, and producer of the film Day of the Stranger.
What an excellent name, too. Like, Tom Lee Rudder.
Sounds for like a director of a Western, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he sounds like he is straight out of a Western. I wonder if it's like his director name. I wonder if that's his real name.
Well, his name is Thomas Lee Rudder.
Oh, derp. Wow, disrespectful on my part. I guess we'll just
No. He wants it to be Tom Lee Rudder on his films. But I did look him up on IMDb and it says Thomas. So we watched his film, Day of the Stranger, and how do we want to start this? Oh, we want to start this by letting me, Dan, tell you about what this film is.
That's right.
So basically, I'm going to turn you on to this film right now.
Awesome.
This is a very loose adaptation of Mark Twain's short story, The Mysterious Stranger, where yes. Satan comes and, like, plays with people. Well, Satan as in the nephew of Satan, who does not rule over hell. He's immortal and he has magic. But anyway, this is a Western version of that tale, and it is very Western. And also very trippy. It destroys your brain by the time you get to the end.
Absolutely. So you've heard of the source material?
Yes.
Have you read it?
I have read a version of it, and then that one really fucking weird TV adaptation where it was claymation. They retold it through claymation.
That sounds cool.
It's just about as trippy as this movie was.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be pretty obvious that the stranger is Satan.
Yes. Well, So his name is Philip Traum, and if I remember correctly, like, Traum is a German word for something. I don't remember, but like they took that name and they put it in this film as well. I was not ready for it to be a adaptation of this book. I was pleasantly surprised by it, I think. but I was just ready for it to be a straight up Western. If you are going into this film thinking it's going to be a straight up Western, it is for about, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then it's no longer a Western, and it's straight into Mark Twain territory. But I'm not complaining about it, because the lengths that Mark Twain's story goes to kind of make you feel insignificant and upset is fucking huge. It's crazy, the ideologies that are represented in the book and translated into this film.
This movie definitely gets gonzo bonzo, nuts to butts, real crazy, for sure. So let's talk about the next segment, I guess. questions. Let's do questions. I don't know why I said it so weird. I have a brain disorder. Anyways, Dan, here's a question.
Yeah.
I like to preface all my questions with, Dan, here's a question.
I'm afraid of your questions.
How did you feel about the nudity in this film?
It was fucking rad. Yeah. I was not expecting it. I'm like, what is happening? Okay, so basically, we'll spoil it later. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, because they even show, like, penis in this.
Yeah, but the penis was fake. I was upset. Yeah,
but still, it still looked pretty real, and it was real gross. I didn't enjoy it.
At first, it looked real. I'm like, what the fuck? And I scrolled back, and I paused, and I'm like, okay, no, that's totally a fake penis.
Yeah.
And I looked at it for a little bit too long.
So how did you feel about the way this movie looks? So, like, the special effects.
Oh, like the filmy, like the film grain. I appreciated the film grain. It was a bit weird at first. There were certain scenes where it worked and certain scenes where it didn't. Like, anytime they were in the wilderness, like the open area, it was awesome. So anytime they were nowhere near civilization, it was cool. But whenever you brought it back to the ranch or whatever, I was just like, I don't know. Just the aesthetic did not fit properly, because the ranch was not a good location to me.
Mm-hmm. I really liked the graininess of the film and how the film looked. Like you were saying, certain scenes it kind of didn't work. But what I really liked too is the voiceover, like the voice work of it, and just the way everything kind of felt just slightly off to make it sound
it,
like
it reminds tiny. Me of a spaghetti Western. Absolutely.
Oh, it's so good. I loved it.
Now, and here's a question.
Sure.
Speaking of spaghetti Westerns, how did you feel about the music in this film?
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
It was awesome.
I thought the band who did this music for this movie did an excellent job. And I watched this movie with headphones on. And
I did too.
The music certainly carries you through any like just the whole film. I loved it. No complaints at all about it. There, like you're saying, it's because this movie was like a labor of love, and it's also very
well. Okay, so here's where we're going to discuss it. Do you think you can recommend this movie to people?
Yes, because people who like strange films and Westerns, I think you could get together and have a drink with your friends and watch this, and I think it would be
absolutely
fun to watch.
This is a very, very micro budget film made for almost no money, and it is extremely DIY. Like, absolutely no professionalism in it. This is totally for the love of making movies. It reminds me of making films as a kid.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you're doing, but these people kind of know what they're fucking doing, and they actually made a full-scale Western out of essentially nothing, which was incredible.
I thought a lot
incredible.
Of the camera work and the editing was really good.
Yes.
It's just, they just don't have a budget. That's the only problem. Like, when they use rope, they don't have, like, real, you know, like, they don't have real rope. They have, it's like that orange rope, and I kind of like the charm of that, because everything else is there. It's like all the shots are making sense and the story is moving along like it was professionally done, but it's just like, oh yeah, I mean, they got the costumes from the costume store. It was like, because that's what they had to do. They don't They're not rolling in money. They don't have like $1 million to make this film. So it's like they're doing the best with what they have, and it kind of made it charming in a way. And what really helped it was the film graininess and how it was intentionally made to look bad. That's a great way to hide the low budgetness of your film, to make it purposely look like that. The aesthetic was really great.
We should rename this film Day of the Stranger: colon Hats.
Hats. Oh yeah, Quest for the Hat.
All their fucking hats were like definitely. They just went to Goodwill and just took all of the hats that looked remotely cowboyish.
What if we just called it Day of the Stranger: colon? How's your hand feeling, by the way? I think my hand's almost ready, but we'll keep talking about these.
Wait. So Stranger Colon is, instead of you masturbating, you shove your finger up your butt?
You shove your lifeless hand up your own butthole. Because it's
that
might,
that sounds more enticing than a regular stranger.
It feels like a wriggling snake of pleasure. Oh, yes. So, for those of you who have turned off the podcast, I completely understand. For those of you that are here, you're weird. You're like a weird pervert, aren't you?
Or you're just waiting for us to review your movie.
Yeah. Or you really want to know about this film and you're very upset with us. And, you know, I understand you. And, like, I'm upset at us, too. I'm mad at me. I'm upset at me for making these jokes. And I apologize to you. We like to have fun. I've already said that. Anywho.
Oh, my God.
So, I think we can get into spoilers. Why not? Let's do it. Hey, we're going to spoil this film. If you want to watch it, we saw it on YouTube, but we got a screener for it, so I don't know what the proper way is to watch this movie.
I think you could just find it on YouTube, because... unless it's a private movie and only those with a link.
I think that was. I think it was, dude. So maybe the film isn't... I don't know.
Maybe it's not ready yet, but...
Yeah.
It will be, and whenever you hear about it, you should totally watch it.
Yeah, if once we find out how to properly promote it, we'll definitely try to promote it on our socials and stuff and tell people about it. Because I think people should see it. It's fun.
It is fun. It was, and it's a quick watch too. It's not an hour and a half. It's like a little bit less than an hour and a half.
Yeah. So okay, getting into this film, certain things it reminded me of, especially while we were talking, doing the questions. You reminded me of a film. I think it was called The Forest. It was like this like Japanese film.
Uh-huh.
You know about this movie, right, Dan? Where it's like these people, they had a really low budget and they were just filming themselves fighting with samurai swords in the woods.
Versus.
Versus. Yeah, it kind of gave me that vibe.
Oh yeah.
Of what you were talking about with like that type of like, that's a great film. But it's just some people in the woods with samurai swords. But, like, the amount of things that they were able to do was really, really cool. So, like, if you like a film like Versus, I think you would like a film like Day of the Stranger.
Now I want to watch Versus again. God damn.
Versus was great. We should review it. That's got to be indie, right? I mean,
we should totally review it.
I watched that film as a young teen with my friends, and it blew me away. I think I was watching that movie and my first animes I ever saw. It was, like... Akira and Samurai X and stuff like that, and I was just like, my mind has been expanded. Like, the world has endless possibilities of really cool stuff I can see, and I was super excited. I also kind of got vibes of El Topo with this, you know?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, scenes. El Topo itself is an acid western, and then this, Tom Lee Rudder, whenever he emailed us, described it as the first guerrilla filmed, or the first and only guerrilla filmed action or acid western in the UK. I'm like, okay, I'm down.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I'm down.
And then I also got certain scenes, some of the more quieter moments were kind of like Kauka, which is a movie I love, and it's spelled J-A-U-J-A if you want to look it up. I think it came out in 2004. It stars Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever did an episode of it on our show.
On our old show we did.
Old show? Okay, that's what it was. But oh my goodness, that movie is really good. I love it. Very bizarre film. Slow, but good. I liked it.
Hey, Jared.
Yes?
Why don't we stop talking about other films and start talking about Day of the Stranger?
You're right, Dan. You're right. I'm trying to just give you the feel and the vibe of this movie.
Oh, no, I get it. I get it. But I got to whip you up into shape, man. You can't just continue to do that.
Hey, you know what's another film I like is The Joker. Let's talk about that.
Jesus Christ.
You know, Joaquin.
Hey, everybody. Anyways. Go watch Day of the Stranger instead of The Joker.
Yeah. Holy shit.
I enjoyed Day of the Stranger more than I enjoyed Joker.
Yeah.
In terms of narrative, it was pretty awesome. So, let's start spoiling the movie.
Talk about a scene you like.
First and foremost, the book is about this man who is Satan's nephew, basically. And he basically says, I'm kind of like this magician, and he does these tricks for them. Even though he's not Satan, he's just named after Satan. And he kind of predicts their futures.
Yeah, McGonagall says that he had met the stranger before. Remember, he's telling the story in the campfire. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, me and my friends were talking with this man, and he was very charming or whatever. And he started performing magic for them. And he was like making things appear. And they're like, this guy's doing things we've never seen before. And then he tells them that he's an angel.
Yeah.
So they think he's an angel. And then
I'm assuming
he sold their soul or something. Something real bad happened.
No, he basically starts predicting when they're or how they're going to die. That's and they're like, what? And that's how it works. But what is so fascinating, why I wanted to bring up the source material, is I think that a Western is the perfect setting for this story.
Yeah.
Like, back before technology, but in the kind of the frontierness of it, lends itself to this story very well. Because you don't know what's going on. You still have superstition. You still have unknown. And
there's no cell phones
exactly.
for communication.
So,
and all you're living off the wilderness.
All of the entertainment comes directly from people telling tales. So McGonagall, we get to know the stranger through a campfire story, which was the perfect setup for what's about to happen, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the first 10 minutes of the film, we have, it's classic Western. We have Kane, who's the main character, is a bounty hunter, and he's trying to catch these two guys. But he got ambushed by them. They shoot his horse, and there's a shootout. And this is like my favorite. This whole 10-minute sequence of him with the two dudes, and I loved all of this. I loved it. If this guy wants to just make a regular Western like this, I was so fucking sold on it.
Yeah.
I was loving the VO and just how everything looked. I was so into it. And there was something like really charming about it. Mm. That's what I'll say. So he has a shootout with the one guy. He shoots him, and he goes to chase the other dude who's escaped on foot. And that guy basically gets out of his binds, and he has a knife. And instead of being captured and taken back to Kane's boss, he slices his own throat. So then fucking Kane has to drag this fucker with no horse back to town. And he passes out. And it is implied that some stranger finds him and takes him back to town. But throughout the entire movie, you're kind of like, okay, well, what's really going on? Because then the rest of the film is an acid trip.
Yeah.
So you don't know. Is he still wandering in the desert with this fucking corpse? Is he just gone crazy?
So there are...
Is he going to die, or is this really happening to him?
You have him passed out in the desert. You have him arguing and with his wife. You have him at McGonagall's ranch, or not McGonagall's ranch. Whoever, what is the lead bad guy?
The villain
name?
Is Loomweather.
Loomweather. Oh, and man,
he's not really a villain. It's strange. He was a villain.
He was rad.
Yeah,
I liked him a lot.
Loomweather was good.
Anyway, you have Loomweather's place, and then you have the wilderness where the stranger is existing.
Yeah.
So, the film vacillates between each one of these things at any given moment. Like,
you'll see
a flashback. What?
Great use of vocabulary.
Thank you.
Vacillates.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
Okay,
anyway, you see so much going on, and you don't know what is happening at any given moment. Like, there's this one scene. So we start the movie with him talking to his wife, and his wife wants him to quit bounty hunting because there's a family, and, you know, he has that on the home front, and he's like, there's this one last job. It's going to get me $20,000, and I'm going to stop for life. And then later on, whenever he's thinking about his wife, like, you know, fantasizing about her, there's a nightmare sequence where, like, she's getting raped by one of Loomweather's goons. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So yeah. I was like, is that a dream, or is that something that actually happened, or is that, like, what is going on in this, in these that's vignettes?
Part of it could have been the devil showing him that.
Oh.
Because he was with the angel or whatever, the stranger, quote unquote, during that time. But so yeah, we have that setup of McGonagall wants Kane to come with him to go basically find this gang member, quote unquote, who had stolen a bunch of money from a town. It was like $20,000, like you said, which is a lot of money back then. And then they're going to take that money and bring it back to Loomweather, who's a real piece of shit. And they're all going to get a cut of the money, and then basically they won't have to work. And you're thinking, oh, there's going to be a whole thing where Kane's going to go fight Loomweather because we know he's obviously bad. And something bad's going to happen to his girlfriend. He's going to have to go save her. Like, classic movie stuff, right?
No.
Not, all that film shit forgets out about the that. Fucking window.
Exactly.
He never gets that far because the film just becomes a trip down the Mad Hatter hole of insanity with this stranger and him fucking around with McGonagall. And boy, I mean, it was pretty great.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that make the stranger sequence incredible.
Okay.
Starting with the nudity.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about the nudity.
There's nudity.
Wonderful. Next
Okay. So in order for us to talk about the nudity, we have to get into how they get there and begin the sequence.
Yeah.
So Kane and McGonagall, they show up at Fool's Rock. And then McGonagall is like, I'm pretty sure the stranger knows we're here. Like, there's no way to hide from him. This guy knows everything. He's like a crazy master magician guy. He's supernatural. So we should just walk up and go say hello to him, because what else can we do? So he runs off. He goes up there. And then McGonagall gets fucking thrown off the cliff, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So now Kane is all by himself. He goes up there.
And then the stranger, I have to say it, he's like, this rock's closed on Sundays.
Holy shit, that made me laugh so funny. I love that line. I wrote it down. I wrote it down and started because I love that.
Oh, it was so good.
So much. So the only one little shootout that's really in the film after the first sequence is this encounter where the stranger fires his gun backwards, not facing Kane, and shoots his gun out of his hand. Yeah. So the stranger goes out of his way to show how helpless he is, like Kane is, in the situation, to the point where he even gives him back his gun a few times. And Kane, like, thinks about trying to shoot him. He's like, I don't even think I can kill this guy. Like, because he shows him so many really crazy things that he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just manifest food out of nowhere and, like make his hat appear on him and stuff. Like, really, really nuts. Nutso-butso stuff. So there's one point where he's like, okay, let's just sit down together and talk. Because that's, you know, that's what I really want to do. I'm lonely. It's what he says, which is, you know. But he gives him a drink. He gives him a cup of something. And, of course, classic, you're like, okay, don't drink anything this guy's giving you. Come on. And what does he do? He
drinks it.
He downs that shit, all of it, like, real fast. And then after that, you say the whole film gets really nutty? Like, that's when, like, the demons and the naked women with the gimp masks,
they
have, like, these cow masks on their heads. And they're just, like, flapping their titties all over the place. I could even tell, like, genders at some point. So I'm like, is that a male? Is that a female? I don't even know what the fuck's going on. And they're, like, worshiping the stranger and, like, dancing all around the other guy. And it's getting real trippy. At one point, it looked like he was going to get pushed off the cliff, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he keeps getting close to, like, he looks like he's about to die. And I feel like all of that is representing him in the desert fighting, like, life or death. Because they also cut to him when he's younger with his wife. And he's like, he has a fever. And his wife is like, oh, he's awake. Oh, so it's like you don't know if he's back there. You don't know if he's really in the desert.
Yeah, it could be a fever dream. All
different realities of him almost dying.
But that's like that's part of the charm of the Mysterious Stranger novella or whatever it is, because this is a quote from it. There is no God, no universe, no human race, no earthly life, no heaven, no hell. It is all a dream, a grotesque and foolish dream. Nothing exists but you, and you are but a thought, a vagrant thought, a useless thought, a homeless thought, wandering forlorn among empty eternities. So the whole, like, that sentence is fucking crazy. And Twain just came up with that. That's how he ends the story.
Oh my God.
It's fucking bonkers. Like, just to think that you are nothing but somebody else's thought.
Now imagine you're in old-timey Western days and somebody was laying that shit on you and he knew for sure this guy was magic. And you're like, am I really? Like, he was really convincing him. That's what's fun. It's like, you don't know if the things he was showing him were real or not. Because, like,
but then again, I don't even need old-timey Western times. Because if I see a stranger comes up to me, starts showing me shit that shouldn't exist, and I start to, like, really believe it, he can tell me anything, and I will follow him to the grave.
You know what I love, too? I love in films where the villain is able to show the good guy, like, a bad like stuff that he didn't want anyone else to know about, because it tarnishes how we feel about Cain, because it shows Cain beating his wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, wait, Cain's the hero. I thought he was supposed to be our guy who's got the lady. He's gonna go back to her with this money. He's just going to do this one more job, and then they're going to live happily together. Nope. He's a bad boy. Ooh, he's a bad boy.
He's an anti-hero of sorts.
Yeah.
Like, you're rooting for somebody who's doing something against the law in the first place. We learn more about his backstory, and he is somebody who he's a broken person. And this broken person has to confront what is this mortal devil of sorts.
Yeah. Do you think that everything the devil showed him was true? Like, his wife getting raped to death. Yes, that happens in this movie. It's very hard. It was bad. It was rough to watch. Not bad in, like, a filmmaking way. I'm just like, it was hard for me to watch that.
I'm torn. I want it to be a fever dream, but I also know that in the book, I'm pretty sure in the book that whenever Satan tells people about how they're going to die, they do die.
Yeah, they die that way. I almost feel like the devil's wanting him to give up on living.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the whole point of it. And part of that was him having the shootout. Like, the devil wanted to make him so mad that he would actually try to kill him and shoot him. Because then when he does, he, of course, turns the gun on himself and shoots himself. Because he just feels hopeless.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be lost forever. So I'm thinking, like, well, maybe he was, like, showing him certain things to mess with him. Because then he even lets him have a fight with the torturer creepy guy, right? Later on. Mm-hmm. And he, like, smashes his head in with a rock. Man, that was cool. And some of the locations were really nice, too. Like that final scene. Oh,
well,
the
fact that it was filmed guerrilla style, so they weren't supposed to be filming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I love it.
This whole movie, just the locations were awesome. Like, I want to know where they are, because I'm almost positive if you just turn the camera a little bit to the left, there would be civilization.
That's so cool. So there's this scene where they're in this really cool cave, and there's like carvings all over
the cave
and stuff. And he's going through it, and there's almost no talking. And he's walking up to the devil guy, and the devil turns around. I forget what the devil guy says, but his response is like, he just screams.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a good, he's just like, ah! It was really, I loved it so much. And then the part with like McGonagall and Loomweather, I love these names, by the way, if you can't tell, I keep saying them.
Yeah.
When they're all sitting together at the table, and they're all just like smiling with like these weird crooked smiles. They're all like, and later on in the film, he comes back there again. Like, time is looping, and he's like, "What am I doing here?" He's like, "I was just here." He's like, "What do you mean?" And they're confused about like what he's saying. I fucking loved it. And they all just are like smiling crookedly at him, and I'm like, oh, I love this. there's a lot of great stuff in this movie.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, so final thoughts, Dan.
Get your soundbite ready. Here we go. This movie, or setting this tale, I'm going to say it one more time, because I already said it once.
Oh, my hand's ready. Okay, let's start jerking off, Dan. Sorry.
I already said it once, but I'm going to say it again, but I'm going to rephrase it. Okay. Setting Mark Twain's story in a Western is a stroke of genius. It works so well. It's captivating. It's believable. If anything, it's more believable than Mark Twain's story. Final thoughts. It made me want to make my own Western. It made me want to get back in and start making my own films again. And that is, if any, just the inspiration that has taken over me. It's incredible.
I absolutely understand that. Because during the first 10 minutes, like I said, I was like, fuck, man, I want to make my own Western.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so excited about it. It really was igniting my fire. My fire for cinema. But yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I liked it a lot. It's a super fun, low budget and type of film. And how cool would it be if they actually had money, you know? If they had a budget, they could have done like just some crazy fucking shit. But the stuff they did without a budget is pretty commendable. Amazing what they did.
Budget is a weird thing.
Think of the titties they could have gotten with a budget. All right, that's all I'm gonna say.
I kind of like the titties they had already.
All right, you're right. How many dicks they could have exploded? We didn't even mention the villain dresses up a corpse with makeup and taunts a prisoner.
Oh God, yeah.
Into calling him a homosexual, among other strong words, and ask him if he wants to have sex with this dead corpse before shooting his dick off. That's in this film, by the way. So yeah, that's how crazy this film is that we almost forgot to mention that.
Man, almost.
This film is nuts.
You can't get the penis past us.
I had to talk about it at least just right now in closing time.
Closing time.
All right, shut up. All right, let's do plugs.
You can find us on Twitter at IndieFilmPod. You can find us on Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. We're there. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. Yeah. We're on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. And Jared, why don't you talk to us about the Necroponicon Network?
I can do that. Necroponicon is a network where people go to listen to podcasts. Podcasts like Sons of the Fathers, a really new, cool Call of Cthulhu podcast. It's like aliens in it. And a lot of cool, good voice actors and people from other shows on the network who are very talented and handsome and sexy, and I like all of them, and they do really great work, and I'm fucking loving the show. It's like super highly produced in a good way, and they have like really cool sound effects and all this other stuff, and I'm really enjoying it. So like, not like our show at all.
Oh yeah.
And it's great. If you go to necroponicon.com, you can click a link to join our Discord and talk with all of us if you want. And it's got a list of, you know, all the podcasts there and everything we do. And, you know, yeah, it's just got a lot of great, great people making cool podcasts that you'll probably enjoy. Okay. That's all I have to say.
Wonderful.
But actually, the last thing I want to say is, Dan, you have the final word.
My name is Philip Traum. And you are listening to the Indie Film Review. You will die. Because I deem it worthy. Die by my blade.
Hey, I'm Brad, and if you like D&D and fantasy stories with lots of magic, adventure, strange beasts, and oddball characters, and comedians with New Zealand accents, then oh boy, have I got just the show for you. The Fate of Iceland is a podcast that has, wait for it, all of those things. Remember those things I mentioned? It's got all of them. Now go listen to The Fate of Iceland because it's good and you deserve good things. Fate of Iceland, a proud member of the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.